Idag är ingen mindre än artisten, skådespelerskan och tv-personligheten Kiara Jönsson Selmelöv hos mig. Välkommen hit!
Thank you very much. Hi, thank you for having me.
You know, it's, if you're in English in Sweden, that's very exotic. If you would have been speaking in Arabic and some other language, people wouldn't have understood.
No, that's true. Anything, I know. So. It makes me very lazy, actually, because everybody can speak to me in Swedish. Sorry, in English. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever learn it properly.
Yes, you go to SFE like all of us did before.
Yeah, exactly.
Not me, but like my parents. That's Swedish for invandrare, and invandrare are immigrants.
Okay, I should do that. Maybe that's the way forward for me.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we start with everything, you are English, you live in England with Måns Zelmerlöw, he's a famous person in Sweden. But before we talk about you and him and your children and everything, I just want to know about your childhood.
Yes, wow, that's actually a really nice question. I haven't actually been asked that for a long time. I grew up in Surrey, which is where we live now. It's about an hour away from London. And I went to a lovely school, very local here, and then went to another school, a very nice private school. And then I left school actually when I was 16 because I got my first job on television. And then I was doing my A-levels as well as working. So I was juggling both the career and school. I was pretty much done with school, didn't go to university or anything, and I just sort of learned my craft as an actress on the job. So, and then it just sort of went from there, really.
And when you were brought up, were you brought up with siblings?
Yes.
And both your parents?
Yeah, I've got a younger sister who I absolutely hated when I was growing up, actually, but she's now my best friend in the world, which is, you know, how it always goes. She's seven
normal.
Years younger than I am. Yeah, very normal. And yes, my parents divorced when I was about 13, but honestly, it was the best thing that could have ever happened. You know, you just cannot imagine anybody together, and it was, they sort of did everybody a favor when they eventually decided to split up. So to be honest, I had a really lovely, lovely, lovely childhood despite having parents who were separated, and you know, it was nothing to complain about, actually. I had a very nice upbringing.
And did you have a lot of friends in school, or you were never bullied, or?
No, I wasn't. I mean, when I was younger, actually, we've always, my family and my kids, we've got very round faces. So it was always a thing for me, you know, always worried about sort of appearances and looking like, you know, a little bit chubby. And my kids have it now, so it's so funny to say, just wait until you grow up. I promise you this isn't going to be a problem. You know, just trust me on this one. But actually, when I left school at 16 and went into this TV show, that was tricky for me because, you know, it was quite a high, well, it is a high profile show. And, you know, at that age, people don't really understand. They think, you know, that you're suddenly going to change into somebody else. So that was difficult, actually, because I had a huge group of friends from school. Some totally understood, some didn't get it at all. So we're a bit, you know, how kids can be, I suppose. But, as you know, sort of going around different countries and working in different jobs, you get such a vast array of friends. But my school friends, there's 10 of us, and we are still best friends. I think we always will be. We're like family, really.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And to have old friends is very nice, actually. That's a very nice comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you feel very secure.
Absolutely.
Your mother is an actress herself, yes?
My mum is an actress, my dad's an actor, my sister is a singer, so we're all in this profession, and honestly, I have no idea what else we would do, so thank God.
You could be cleaning toilets.
I could be, no, I'm actually. Just no, you're right. I'd probably, actually, I'm very good at that, so yeah, maybe if it all falls through, I've got that.
When Mons goes to toilet, is it always messy after him or what?
Do you know what? I avoid going in there, so I wouldn't be able to comment on that. Just for the sake of our marriage, to save it. I wouldn't know. I'll keep it that way.
That's good. Okay, let's go back to you. So you started with a TV show when you were 16. You started to act on TV.
Yeah, so I started acting on this TV series when I was 16, which was super young, actually, now I'm thinking about it. But I've always done voiceovers, which is such a big career here in the UK, but actually, I don't know if it is in the rest of the world, really. But so I do TV commercials and radio commercials, that voice that you hear that you're like, I know that voice, who's that? I've spent my life doing that, really. I started when I was... really when I could start speaking, so as a child, cartoon series and radio plays and everything. So that's where I'm most comfortable, I think, in my little studio behind a microphone, not being myself, but doing, you know, commercials and things. So yeah, it's kind of what I've always known, and I really love it. It's the best job when you have children as well.
When did you have your first child?
I had Archie, who's my eldest, who's 9 this year, my God, when I was 27.
Okay, and why did you split up with his dad?
You know when somebody is just, you know, they're meant to be in your life in some capacity, but maybe perhaps not in a romantic one. He's Archie's dad, he's such a special man, and he still is. He's actually godfather to Mons and I, our little son. But we just...
That's nice.
I know, it's kind of weird. People look at it and think...
No, why not? If you're friends, why not?
Exactly. And actually, it started off all for Archie, just to make sure that everything was amicable. But actually, you know, we love each other in some way. We never fell out. Nothing ever happened that went wrong. I think we had a child very young. He was only 25. And you just kind of realise that this isn't going to work in the long term, but desperately still want each other in our lives. And actually, I was really lucky with Mons because he, you know, he's a very confident man, so he wasn't threatened at all by anyone else. So he was really welcoming to Archie's dad. Yeah, and like I said, he's very much involved in our lives. I see him every day. I see him more than I did when we were together, I think.
So you have two men in your life.
Yes, I'm surrounded by men.
Yes, you are.
Can't complain.
Can't complain, no. That's good. Yeah. Because, you know, I had two sons and then I had my daughter. And every time I prayed that God, please give me a daughter.
Did you?
And he did the third time.
Yeah.
And you have three sons now, don't you?
I have three sons. And I think that's how it goes for me. But can you tell me, what is it like? Is there a real difference between sons and daughters?
The daughters are bitches.
Are they?
But
yeah.
But the thing is, the difference is, I think, in the long term, you keep them very close to you, and if they marry somebody, you will win another son.
Yeah, exactly.
But the sons, they will move on with the girls. Yeah. So, but it's not in every case, but That's what I think is going to happen. But do you want a daughter?
I just imagine myself with girls. I never thought I would have boys. So, yeah, I do. I would desperately love a little girl. But also, you know, we're so lucky with our three boys, and we had a lot of trouble getting our last one. So, you know, I feel like I'm lucky to have these guys, and I should probably stop there, because I think I would just have a football team. I don't think girls are for me as much as I want one to be.
If you become pregnant, will you keep it?
I don't think I could do anything else. So now I have to be very careful. I think from now
okay.
on. Yeah.
So,
just avoid one. So you I think.
So you don't really want any more children?
I can't imagine it right now. Ossie is 10 months old, and you know you're like right in the thick of baby world. I like can't imagine. So no, right now, I'm very happy just drinking wine and enjoying it.
But if you knew it was a girl, if somebody told you you're pregnant and you're expecting a girl?
Well, then I'd have to. Then I'd have to. Don't, I can't make decisions. I change my mind all the time. It depends what day it is.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. So when Archie was 3 years old, you divorced. When did you meet Mons?
So Fraser and I, we were actually never married, which made things a lot easier. But Mons and I met when Archie was, I think he was just turning 4. So he was, you know, Archie was very young, but in a way that was quite good because he was sort of young enough to not really understand what was going on. And I'm glad he was because he doesn't remember. He just thinks Mons has been around forever.
Exactly. Sometimes it's easier when the parents get divorced when the children are much younger.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially if you meet a good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But where did you meet Mons?
So I have a Swedish friend who invited us to her wedding. And to be honest, I totally forgot about this invitation. And then it was the morning of, and there was this group message going around about the taxi getting to the wedding, and I went, oh my god, yes, of course. So I like remember getting ready in about 10 minutes and going to this wedding, which I totally forgot about. Let's hope she never listens to this. And yeah, I went alone, and obviously I was initially invited with Fraser, so you know I was supposed to go with him, but this, you know, how it turned out. And so I went alone with my girlfriends, and she was a big fan of Mons's music, so her dad had, I think, invited Mons to sing. So he was there, and I thought he was the wedding singer. So that was pretty much as far as it went. And then he sat next to me at dinner, and I was totally uninterested in him, to be honest.
You were interested?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. No. You can say it again, because I didn't hear you clearly.
Mons and I sat next to each other at the dinner, and I was totally uninterested in him, completely.
So what happened?
Good question.
He forced me.
No, but actually, I first saw him, and I thought, wow, he is incredibly good looking. You know, very well dressed, immaculate. He has to be gay. He is. I know he is gay. And then we started talking, and he was funny, and he was all of this stuff, and I was like, ah, okay, either I absolutely am in love with this guy, or he's my gay best friend. It's one or the other. And I was like, I think he's my gay best friend. But he was he was super conversational, and you know, asking me if I've ever been to Sweden and would I like to go to Sweden. And I was just like, who is this guy? You know, who is this wedding singer? And then he proceeded to tell me everything that he'd done with his career, which obviously involved Eurovision. And at the time, Eurovision wasn't that cool in the UK, so I wasn't super impressed with that. So, yeah, I was just okay. Like, okay, this guy, you know, whatever, just a Swedish guy.
Han är en tönt. Did you think he was a tönt?
Oh, what does that mean?
That's a little bit like a jerk.
Well, you know, I just thought he was a bit arrogant. I thought, you know, you're obviously a good-looking guy and you think you're just going to talk your way into, I don't know. So then I was like, by the way, like, I have a child. You don't want to talk to me. You know, I'm very English. I don't know who you are. I tried to put him off. It didn't work. And now here we are.
2 summers
yeah,
later.
Exactly.
You go to Sweden after that party wedding?
No, this is quite a funny story, actually. So Mons invited me to Sweden quite a few times, and I just said, like, no, this is crazy. Who are you? And then he said, well, listen, I'm going to come to London, and I'm only coming there to see you. So if you want to meet up with me and have dinner, I will be here at this time. You know, I hope you sort of turn up. And I was like, oh, my God. So, of course, I couldn't just leave him alone. So I did, actually. And we ended up having, you know, the most amazing time. And then after that, he was like, now you need to come to Sweden. And he invited me to a Beyoncé concert. And I am notoriously terrible with answering messages. It takes me quite a while. But I was also playing quite hard to get, so I didn't reply for a day. What I didn't know is that he'd also invited another woman to Beyoncé. And in fact, she replied quicker than I did and said yes. So when I eventually was like, do you know what? I will come. He was like, oh, sorry, you missed your chance now. And I was like, what? Who is this guy?
Dismissed.
Yeah, totally, totally dismissed. So, yeah, I missed out on Beyoncé. That was probably the worst part about it, actually.
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happened? He went with the other girl.
He went with the other girl. And actually, I think a huge part of that was he was so transparent about it. You know, he was like, this is what I'm doing. I am taking another girl. And, you know, I'm not going to message you for a couple of days. And we'll sort of see what happens. And I was like, okay, that's weirdly honest. I don't really, you know, I can't really say anything to that. And then after he, you know, had gone on this Beyoncé date and all these other things, you know, he came back and was like, hello, hello again. So I was like, well, it can't have been that brilliant, can it? With whoever you went with, if you came back to me.
Yeah. you couldn't reject him anymore.
No, exactly. But to be honest, because, you know, he was in Sweden and I'm in the UK, I just thought nothing would ever come of it, really. But he was amazing. And yeah, he was like, I'm going to move to the UK and I can commute to Sweden. So I was like, wow. OK, so that's kind of what happened. And that's what we're
doing. So he just moved to UK after that?
Well, it was probably about six to eight months after he moved to the UK. Yeah.
And I'm very surprised because Måns is a big star in Sweden, you know, with Allsång på Skansen and all his TV shows, yeah, and all of that, that he could just move to another country.
Well, I think he realised that actually it's such an easy commute from the UK. It's like 2 hours, you know, on the plane. So he was like, this is easy for me. And he does that. He spends still, you know, 90% of his time in Sweden. And he comes and, you know, comes back when he can.
How does it feel for you to be married to a man that's travelling 90% of the time, having 3 children and also having a job?
Yeah, it's... To be totally honest, I struggled at the beginning. It was definitely something that I needed to adjust to, realizing that actually this, if I am going to be married to a man like this, this is how it's got to work. And of course, it is difficult. It's frustrating a lot of the time. But, you know, I'm also in the same industry, kind of. So I understand how it works. And I know that that is the nature of our jobs. And if we want to do what we are doing, it has to work this way. So we're really, really fortunate to have, we've got a nanny who lives with us, and she's like my wife, basically. So she's actually much better than Måns would ever be.
Of
so
course.
It works so much better with her. No.
So he can stay in Sweden.
He can stay in Sweden and her and I can just live our lives and he can visit whenever he wants.
Yeah, in the weekends.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely.
Bring your weekend back.
Yeah.
You're having 3 children now, mm-hmm. 2 with Måns and 1 before, so you're a family with 3 children. That's quite a big family, I will say, and him traveling around and working, and you, I mean, with the 3 children, of course, you have a nanny, so that's very good. But doesn't you feel like, oh, I really miss you, I really miss this quality time with you and the children around?
Yeah, that... I think that's probably the hardest thing is to have You know, you see people who have a very normal family life, and it's something that I don't think we will ever have, really. But we do make sure that the times that we do get as a family, we are, you know, we don't take them for granted, and we do lovely things. And they might not be as often as everybody else, you know, might have, but it works for us. I mean, we're both very spontaneous people, and we live like an organized, chaotic life. And I think the kids have just sort of grown up with that. So it's normal for them. And to be honest with you, I think if I did live with Mons 24/7, I think he'd drive me insane. I think that it actually keeps the relationship really fresh because, you know, there's that element of excitement because I haven't seen him for a week and then, you know, he's back for the weekend or whatever. So, I mean, it takes a hell of a lot of trust. That's what I would say. And that was that was tricky to, you know, because of both of our professions, it's hard. But, you know, if you haven't got that, you haven't got anything, have you? So
when you see him like once every weekend, you feel that you're still in love?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, above all, and it sounds really cliche, and I think if I heard someone saying this, I'd probably be sick, but he is like my best friend. So, you know, we will always have that. We get on really well with each other as people. So it does, like we've got that kind of chemistry between us anyway. So yeah, it works. And like I said, you know, I think if I live with anyone all the time or any man, let's put it that way, I think I'd go mad. So it's just like the perfect setup for me.
Me too, because do you know why? Because you're an independent woman.
Yeah,
an independent woman want to have their own space.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can understand you totally.
Do you feel the same?
It's not. Yeah, I don't feel that there's nothing wrong with what you are saying. I really understand you 100%. So, and good for you. And everybody lives their lives in different ways, and whatever works for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, you're in England on your own, obviously with the family and your children and your mom and everything. And Måns is in Sweden. You never feel like jealousy, or doesn't he feel jealousy when you're both apart? I mean, that's a quite normal feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the beginning of our relationship, or actually for the first couple of years, you know, it was very difficult, especially being in, you know, the industries we're in. We are around beautiful people all the time. And it definitely took a lot of, you know, a lot of time to just say, actually, like, we're either going to trust each other in this or, you know, or not. But I think also both of us have, like I was saying, that very good group of friends. And I think when you've got those people around you, you know, like, they kind of keep you grounded and they keep you sort of, you know, they remind you that actually, yeah, that everything is, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I think that is kind of how I live life a little bit. Like, I can't really do anything about it. If he was to go and meet, you know, whoever it was going to be, then good on him, you know. But, and the same goes for me, I suppose. So, you know, who knows? Who knows where we'll be? But right now it's good.
You believe in destiny?
Yeah, I do. I just sort of think you can't control anything, and there's no point in really stressing about it, because you can only do what, you know, I can only be me, and he can only be him, and what will happen, I think. And as long as we trust each other and we respect each other, we're like, you know, I guess.
We say fatalist in Swedish.
What does that
fatalist
mean?
I don't know. That means you don't know, you have to believe in, like, destiny. I'm fatalist. Okay. You have to believe in whatever is meant to be is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
More like that.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what you say in English,
no,
but
Like, whatever will be, I guess. That kind of thing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So he's in Sweden, you're here, and now you have your lovely children together, and you went on to be on the same TV show, Masked Singer. This is your first Swedish TV appearance. How was that? Tell
honestly,
me all about this thing.
Oh my goodness me.
You know, I met two friends today, and they said, oh, Måns, he knew that she was behind the mask. And I was telling them, no, he really didn't know. Have you heard it before that people...
Oh, are everybody. Yes. Everyone yes. says, but of course, you know, of course he knew. Even Måns's parents said to me, but obviously, you know, you guys knew about it. And it's quite frustrating because you're like, really, I can understand why you would think it. But I promise you, he had absolutely no idea at all. And I'm so, so proud that we managed to do it. But I think you can tell from his reaction when you watch
yes.
the show. Like that, you can't fake that. He genuinely fell off his chair.
Kiara, he's not that good as an actor.
No, exactly. Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, people giving him too much credit.
Yeah. Oh, you're a very good actor.
Yeah, exactly. No.
No, I'm the actress.
Exactly. You stick to singing. Let me do my job. Don't take that away from me. Yeah.
Do you think sometimes that he gets more attention and attention sometimes that he shouldn't have? Please give it to me. I'm the one who's standing here, not him.
What a polite way to ask. No, I mean, of course.
That was the only English way how to ask.
Good. No, it's very polite indeed.
Okay, thanks.
No, I mean, he's obviously incredibly talented and he gets a lot of praise and it's deserved. But you know what? I do think that I have been brought into his life so that I can bring him back down to earth, because I can imagine that it's very easy to be rather big-headed in these situations, but I definitely bring him back down to earth all the time. So even if he does get too much attention... It's definitely
like bringing him down, like.
Do you know what? I really honestly don't do it intentionally, of course. But, you know, like we're all, I just don't think he's.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
You know?
He's like, okay.
Okay, well. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
nobody. No, okay.
Whatever you say, darling. Yeah. He does, but he wouldn't. I don't think he likes to let. He wouldn't ever sort of act that way around me, because I'd be like, "Excuse me, what yes. are you doing?"
Yeah, but that's
come
good.
Back.
I mean, it's like I think it's not just about Måns. I think it's about a lot of people who are very successful. Sometimes they fly away, and they really need people around them who can make them grounded. And I think he really appreciates you for that, because it's very easy when you are in this situation where people like crawl for you or run after you or are giving you the big head. It's very easy to just fly away from the ground. So it's, I mean, you do understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think, actually, I'm not speaking about Måns specifically, but anybody
yes.
who's, you know, very well known, you don't blame people for getting that way, because you don't know any different. And I think, you know, it must be quite difficult to take, you know, to take a step back and say, actually, you know, in the grand scheme of this whole world, really, you know...
Because the people around you doesn't make you normal, so you don't feel normal.
No, exactly. Exactly. So and I've got a good friend of mine who's going through a divorce. He's a well-known actor. And he said, you know, now I'm sort of coming out of this situation. I realise that my life has just been about me. And I've realised that I've neglected so many people because I've just been surrounded by people who lift me up. And now I'm realising that I've just made everything so about myself that I've sort of forgotten the people around me. And I think it's so easy for that to happen. But I would say, you know, I'd actually say Mons is, he's so grounded anyway. I don't think I would have married him if I thought any differently. But yeah, and he definitely wouldn't let me know if he was feeling you know, too confident.
he doesn't dare to do that.
No, he doesn't.
He's afraid. Would you say that there's always like somebody who has a little bit more power in the relationship? You do understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you feel I'm in charge, and sometimes the husband is in charge. It gets like through the year. Sometimes it's you or the husband. Would you say now that you have a little bit of the power in your hands?
No, do you know what? I think we definitely have our strengths in that way. So there'll definitely be times that I would say the power is in my hands, but then he quite quickly reclaims that with something else. So, you know, it's quite annoying. It's like a power struggle between us all the time. But we're so, you know, we're similar, but actually I'm the really emotional one who I'll say everything I feel. You know, I've got no... You know, I don't have any filter sometimes to my detriment, and I don't have any sort of like, you know, everything is just external. There's no internal dialogue going on. And he's incredibly practical and everything, you know, he's just the opposite of that. And actually he lacks the emotional side a lot of the time. So, you know, where I am, my strengths lie is in that respect. But then I really lack practicality. So then he has that on me. So I think we'll always have that sort of power difference. So yeah, we've got strengths in different ways and weaknesses.
Definitely opposite those. Attracts. That's good.
Yeah, something like that.
To go back to Masked Singer, he didn't know for sure, for real, that you're not behind the mask. But I mean, you came on like what, the second or the third place?
Yeah, I got to the semi-finals, which I honestly believed I would go out the first show. I could not believe that I managed to stay that long. But like, you know, sort of explaining to you about our lives, we're like passing ships in the night, really. We speak to each other a lot, but we, you know, I have my job, he has his job. We sort of just get on with it. So, of course, it was a difficult thing to do, but it wasn't out of the ordinary, you know, to not see each other all the time. And I could easily lie about where I was and not answer the phone because I'm in the studio or whatever. So actually, it wasn't as difficult as it sounds because we're not together a lot of the time anyway. And apparently I'm very good at lying. I didn't know how good I was sort of when you have to lie on the spot.
Because you are the real actress. Because you are the real actress.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. Remember that, Mons. No. So it was worryingly easy to lie to him. But it was so much fun. I just had the best time ever, ever, ever. I loved
it. Were you in Sweden like every day for like 2 weeks, or did you record it like once a week? Or
yeah, so it was 2 days filming, really. We had the rehearsal one day, and then we did the show the next. So it was 2 days each week. So there were times when, you know, Mons and I were at the airport together, so he was on, you know, the same flight as me, or I was on the one straight after him or whatever. But, you know, when you're not looking for somebody, you're not going to see them. Whereas I was looking for him all the time. So if I, you know, I knew where he was going to be, like at the airport or whatever. So I think it's actually it is easy if you really think about it. And it was just so out of context for him, for me to be doing that show. So, you know, I'm trying to defend him here because all he ever says is like, I looked so stupid. You made me look so stupid. You know, how can I not recognize my wife? So, I I'm trying to defend him. But actually, maybe I should just give myself credit.
You just said you're just saying that you're a very good actress and they do something with your voice. It is your voice, but they do something with it when you sing.
They said to me, we need to really disguise your voice. Will he recognize you? And, you know, of course I thought, yes, he would. So I tried for the first, I think it was 5 shows, to sing like a man. Oh, then it just sounded like a really terrible impersonation of Cher, actually. So I don't know.
You sounded like me because I always sound like a man. Okay. Even if I can't sing, that's something.
Oh, gorgeous voice. It was really difficult actually to get. I've got quite a high voice, so like I'm the opposite to you. To get down to a lower register is really tricky. But you've got a range, I'm sure. I'm sure you can go right up here.
No.
You can't.
No. I sing so false, but it's okay. Thank you for believing in me, but I'm going to tell you
next season for you.
Actually, somebody thought it was me, that Camilla
really?
Lecter was me. I don't know if you heard it.
Well, the thing is, I didn't understand anything anyone was saying because it's all in Swedish. So, I wouldn't have known what they said when they guessed you, but...
Oh, they thought you know her. Camilla Läckberg, the author.
Yeah. And I actually knew her from before, so it was really cool that she was there because we're both quite like nervous and apprehensive about these things. So it was nice to have her there.
And how was it to work behind the mask?
Oh my God, it was.
Could you breathe?
No, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. I couldn't move very well. But, you know, I think my costume was particularly difficult because it was like 2 meters high and... I had fans. Most of the costumes have like fans built inside them. The most difficult thing was actually being able to see because of the height, and I was sort of looking out at strange parts of the costume. But it's weirdly comforting. You know, like obviously it's you first get in it and you think like, what am I doing? And then obviously it just becomes really normal. But there's no way I could have gone on stage and done that without being in that costume. No way. I ended up loving that Viking. I got him tattooed on my arm. I loved him so much in the end.
Oh, my God. Did Måns like it?
Well, this is another thing. He didn't even see it. I had it done it like early on. And I was walking around with this tattoo and he still didn't notice. I was thinking, what else? I could do anything here. I could shave my hair, dye my hair purple, and he wouldn't know.
No, because he was so much into his own thing and work, so he didn't like thinking about something else.
No,
when you are
exactly.
in your bubble, you are in your bubble. Then
absolutely.
The things that's happening outside is
exactly.
It's not so important. Who was taking care of your children? Was it the nanny?
So actually, Archie's dad. He had Archie quite a lot. My nanny had my middle one, who's at school, Albie, and Ossie, the youngest. He came with me quite a lot, and I just had to give him to people in the production and say, "Can you just take my child while I quickly go and
oh
do
my
this
God.
Song?"
And then he was crying, and Måns heard his voice.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, I know that cry. Or do I?
So
we juggled. It was a real juggle.
I understand. It's I mean, life is about challenges, and it's fun in one way. But when they took off your mask, av med masken.
Is that what they say? See, I don't even. I couldn't. I'm like, what is that actual word?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like take off the mask.
Take off the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were taking off your mask, and when you saw his. reaction. What did you? What was the first thing that went up to your brain?
Well, the first thing was like yes, I won. I did this. I managed to fool you because you never would have thought that was possible. So it was more like a triumphant moment for myself. And just I was quite cocky actually. I was just like, "Hello, darling."
Hi. Oh my God.
But I'm so glad. Like his reaction was. Was everything we wanted, you know, from when they asked me to do the show. Like, no one knew if we could pull this off. And especially that it went on so long. So, like, the reaction was brilliant, actually, for, like, everybody. They were super happy with that. And I was obviously very, very happy. And he really, I mean this, like, not a clue. Not for one second did he think it was me. So, yeah. We did a good job.
No, actually, it was so good TV.
It was Did you so see good it? Did you?
Yeah, actually, I saw that you? Clip because I was at home and I was, you know, you feel so warm in your body when you see this love and when he was so surprised and his wife is standing there. I mean, I really love this kind of, I really love this kind of, what you call it, feelings, you know, mm-hmm. when you see people so happy. It really makes yourself so happy.
Oh,
there's so much things going on in the world. So when you see people's happiness, you become very happy yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
It was very nice.
Mars Singer is a great show for that because there is so much, you know, rubbish going on in the world, and we just need that light relief, don't we? Just to be able to kind of switch off from it all sometimes.
You're so right. How was it not winning the show? Were you hoping winning the show?
No, not for a second. Like, the one thing I am not is competitive. And Mons is probably the most competitive man I've ever met. So,
but he wins everything too. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem. That's probably it, actually. You've probably hit the nail on the head, is I've never won anything. I'm totally fine with that. So I don't know what that's like. In fact, I think I'd be quite embarrassed if I was to win anything. So, you know, and he wins everything. That is right. You've totally figured it out. Thank you.
You won Mons?
I won Mons.
Or he won
you too. Did he win me? Thank you very much.
I think he won you.
I'm kidding. I really didn't think I'd get through at all. So I was so happy to get that far. I really couldn't believe it. And of course, you know, the very, very deserving winners and finalists were where they were supposed to be. So I should have gone out ages before, but thank God I didn't, because it was fun.
I heard you're a very good singer. Maybe you should... be in the Melody Festival and Eurovision. Maybe you can sing a duet with Mons.
Can you imagine? It would be like a... Oh, my goodness me. I can only really sing Disney songs. So if he's up for singing a Disney song, then perfect.
I think they could, like, create a song for you and Mons. And if they will, would you like to do it?
I would love to, mainly because... it's something that I am totally unfamiliar with, and it's something that I never thought I'd, you know, I guess have an opportunity is the wrong word, but to, I'd never imagined myself doing something like that. So, you know, I've had a bit of a rubbish couple of years a few years ago, and I really thought, do you know what, I need to push myself out of my comfort zone now. I've got to, you know, just try all these new things. So I think doing something like that would definitely be one of those things. is to be singing. But also I would feel like serious imposter syndrome, you know, standing there singing next to Mons, and I'd be like, no, you just take the microphone now, I'll go away.
I think opposite. I think you would be a perfect duo, actually.
It's going to be like, what's that movie? What's that film? You know, when with Lady Gaga.
Star
is Born. Maybe it'll be that situation, is it?
Yeah, you are Lady Gaga.
She does one episode of The Masked Singer and she thinks she's Lady Gaga. Get her off.
Why not? I love self-confidence. Do you consider someday in the future to move to Sweden?
I think, if I'm really honest with myself, I think that is where we'll end up, yeah. I think we'll move to Sweden eventually. You know, the tricky thing for me is having a son here in England, but when he's old enough to make his own choices and decisions and he can get on an aeroplane on his own, which I know he can now, but I'm not ready to let him do that. You know, then it's a conversation. But, you know, work is so accessible everywhere now, and I can work from Sweden, just like Mons has been doing from here. So, and I love Sweden so much. I really do love it. So, yeah, I think we'll end up there.
Do you like it more than England?
It's very different. It's so incredibly different. I mean, do you know the UK? Have you ever lived here?
Yes, I've been. Yeah. My daughter, actually, she went to Cheam School for a couple of months too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's close to Newbury.
Yeah, and it's not far
I've been in London many times. So even if the culture are very close to each other, it's very far away too.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It really is.
But could you feel being with a Swedish man that, oh my God, this is very hard to accept. This is a Swedish mentality. Or do you feel that everything has been going very easy?
No. I actually find, I think, like you just said, the Swedish and the English are very, very different from each other. And it's taken me a while to kind of figure it out. And I'm still figuring it out. You know, you've got to be, just like with anybody, you know, you just have to be quite careful with how you approach certain things because... For example, you know, we are, as you know, in English culture, we're incredibly sarcastic about everything.
I love that.
I know, and I was actually going to say, you are far more English in your approach than I would say most Swedes. You know, like, which for me is really comfortable because you feel like you can just be totally yourself, and I guess not be worried about saying something that is maybe offensive, or which is very easy these days, you know. No, but it's a very different culture. But, you know, I think, to be honest, you know, the English can come across very rude sometimes. And Swedish, I think, are super, super polite. So there's many things, actually. I find that women, you know, they're like these kind of like super, super humans. Like kind of so perfect in every way. You know, like everyone in Sweden is, first of all, like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And the women, like, they're really, I love it because they're very strong women and independent women and, you know, stand on their own two feet. And, but also just like they've kind of got they've got it together. Do you know what I mean? And
but don't they are very independent in England too, many?
Of course we have, you know, there are strong independent women everywhere. It's really important. You know, but I can imagine that sometimes it might go too far that way, that women are like, you know.
Yes, yes. But you have to pay your own restaurant bill.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a balance there somewhere. Yeah. Maybe.
Did Mons, he invited you for the first dinner, I can imagine.
You know what? He invited me for the first dinner. Yes, he did. But he stayed in a hotel in London and I paid the hotel bill. So I was like, oh, interesting. Equality. I get it. Okay. I'm not doing this again.
I get it. I'm going to get poor with you.
Exactly.
I get it.
Exactly. I was doing all right before I met you.
but wait. Didn't you tell him this is not working here in England?
Yeah, I should have said that. No. If you want it to be a thing, you need to do it the English way and pay for everything. No.
Exactly.
How rude. No, I don't think I could handle that. I think I really need I need my financial independence. Otherwise, I think I'd go a bit mad.
But the thing is, you need your financial. I think you need your financial independence, but you also want to feel as a woman, like a woman.
Yeah.
You want the man to like invite you for the dinner, pay for if he afford.
Yeah.
So
exactly, and I feel it, but I also think it's really nice to be able to do it as well. You know, it makes you feel like, you know, it's a nice thing to be able to do together. But yeah, exactly, there is definitely a balance. I don't know if anyone has really found that balance yet, but, you know, I'm sure someone will figure it out one day.
Do you feel that there's something else that you feel, oh my God, we don't do this in England, but in Sweden you do this?
I'm trying to think. When I first met Mons, I remember thinking he was very sort of tactile with me publicly. I know that sounds really strange, but English men are very quite guarded and they're not very affectionate to their partners, like outwardly. So I remember thinking, oh my God, that's really strange that he's putting his arm around me and holding my hand and walking, you know, sort of like, it felt like proud. And I was like, well, that's really nice, actually. I think that's a huge thing. Because it's just, it doesn't happen in the UK. Like, boys,
what do they do?
Well, I think they like to be a bit mean, actually. I think they try and think it's a bit, you know, they're a bit sort of rough around the edges. They think that, you know, there's not a lot of gentlemen, I would say, or I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here, but the men in Sweden are much more chivalrous and more gentlemanly, in my opinion, you know. I think
maybe in the behavior they are more gentlemen. Maybe in their behavior they are more gentlemen, but not when they pay. You were paying for your own for his hotel bills. I mean,
do you know, it was so funny. I paid for it, and I thought surely he's going to say like, "Oh no, I'll take that," and he didn't, and I was like, "Oh, okay, no, it's okay, I can."
And okay. You were like, "Okay, I know you missed something. I'm going to help you a little bit on the way." Maybe if you just remember last night. No, but you know, it's so funny. Is he generous?
Yeah, he is very generous. He really is. He's he's actually very sensible when it comes to you know, finances and things. He has to. I'm really terrible, I have to say. You know, I'm very much the wrong side of that. So I'm like, you know, we live once, whatever. Let's just do it now. Never.
You like me, yeah. Oh,
and it's you know, sometimes it's brilliant because you're like, whatever. But you know, then you're like, actually, I probably should have thought about that and not so much. But you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. But he is very generous. Yes, he is. But what I would say is that it was quite obvious to me when we met that he hadn't been in like a real proper sort of meaningful relationship. You know, like it was to spend money on somebody and just buy something that you think they're going to like and not really thinking about them properly. You know, so he was generous in a way that he would just spend money on a gift that he thought that is an expensive gift that a girl would like. And I think, you know, it was something really nice to be able to say, like, look, if you picked up a leaf from the floor and you made up some absolutely bullshit story about why that leaf is really special and why it's for me, that is far more valuable and generous than you going to buy a gift. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think, like, generous in a different way. Do you know what I mean? Like, in a way he thought was generous, maybe.
In a thoughtful way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With feelings and heart and brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much with money, no.
No.
Anyway, so how do you see your life in 5 years with Måns? Do you see your life with Måns in Sweden in the next 5 years?
That is a good question. To be totally honest, I don't see us settling somewhere for quite a while yet. We're very, like I said, incredibly spontaneous. And I think that if suddenly an opportunity took us to somewhere else, a different country, we'd probably be there for like a year and then we could be somewhere else. And, you know, it's just the children and how you kind of figure all that kind of stuff out. But I am not very good at sort of like committing to something full term. So like, I don't know where we're going to be. We'll be together wherever it is, but who knows where. But I think ultimately, probably not in 5 years, but ultimately we'll be in Sweden. But up until then, who knows? We could be in Spain tomorrow.
Yes, I love Spain.
Let's
it's
just
warm.
Go to Spain. Yeah, exactly.
Your mother, is she that she really likes Måns?
Måns is quite... Is it right if I say that mums... Or like quite like Måns, is that right? Is he quite popular with like sort of the mums in Sweden? Is that why you asked that question?
No. Your mother.
Yeah.
Your mother.
Yeah, my mother. But I think I get the impression that Måns is very popular with sort of mums in Sweden.
Oh, with mums in Sweden. Yeah. With Måns in Sweden. I understand.
Sorry,
we take that
with like
again. Yeah. No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that he's you know. What we you know what we call it in Sweden? Svärmorsdröm. Like the dream thing of, you know,
right.
Having a son-in-law.
Yeah, yes. What, like, why? Why does he give that impression?
I think he looks very nice and he has a nice smile.
Okay.
He looks very nice, I think.
He does.
Don't you think so?
I do. I think he looks very nice. You know, people who don't know we're, like, married are like, are you guys... brother and are you siblings, which is quite strange.
No, but you know what you call that? Do you know what you call that? Äktenskapstycke. When you look like the sister or the brother when you are married, there is a name for it in
Swedish.
Really? It calls marriage lookalike, something
marriage
like that.
Marriage lookalikes. Yeah, it's
the son-in-law
yep.
of your mother. Is she, what do you say? Does she like Måns or is she a big fan of Måns? Is your mom a big fan of Måns?
My mom absolutely adores him and it kind of annoys me because, you know, there are times when you have a fight with your husband and you really want your mum to be on your side and she's like, no, he's so perfect, darling. He's, you know, oh, so yeah, it's annoying and she loves him. And he's really good at it as well, you know, with parents in general, like all my friends' parents, my parents. He just turns on the charm and he's got this way actually of sort of like making her feel like a friend, which, you know, my mum is very, very young at heart and you know, in person of two, if she hears this, because she'll kill me. But he has a way of making her feel, you know, really like part of your family and also just like a friend of his as well. But also, yeah, he's he knows what he's doing. He turns on the charm when he needs to. Yeah, she's fallen for
it. We call that smöreri in Swedish, like buttering.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he does. Layers of butter on on the right people. Yeah.
I need to go like a study. What do you call it? I need to
go to Mons school.
I need to learn from him.
Yeah.
No, we all love Mons. We think he's amazing and nice. And I mean, he found you and you have three lovely children together and it seems very good. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chiara.
Thank you.
Hopefully
thank
I see you when you're in Sweden next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.